When we started this episode, we talked about the responsibilities that come with culinary tourism and how it can be tricky to balance consuming a culture with respecting it. But we also wanted to talk to someone who totally believes in using culinary tourism to show off her home. Now, you may think of Dubai as just like the most wildly opulent place in the world, a city in the desert with both indoor tropical rainforests and ski slopes. But there's a fascinating and important other side to it. Old Dubai, where migrants and refugees from all over the Middle East and beyond have come for safety or opportunity. And our next guest, Arva Ahmed, was raised there by parents who came from India and is passionate about leading food tours in her hometown as a way to tell stories while making you salivate. So hi, Arva. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So I know you lead food tours through the city for, I'm assuming, primarily international travelers and guests. What tends to surprise them when you take them around?
You'd be surprised, actually, that we take a lot of residents in Dubai on our tours as well. Yeah, we have quite a few because people live off in their own neighborhood. They're not coming back to the old side of town, which is where I've grown up and where I live. So there's this sort of disconnect between the two sides of town, both of which are very authentic, mind you. The tallest building having the world's most expensive cupcake or cocktail or whatever you're having sitting up on the nth floor of the best building in the world. I mean, that's very Dubai. That is Dubai. That luxurious experience is Dubai. But at the same time, the side of town that I live in is also extremely authentic. And to your question about what surprises people, as you mentioned, people see Dubai as this very modern, sleek, luxurious destination. It's sort of this artificial Disneyland of sorts in the region. And they don't expect that you have all of these layers of culture that are stacked up in the communities here. So I always, when people come on our experiences, we make it a point to not just feed them, but we use all of the different communities and the cultures, and specifically the plates that are coming out, we use them to talk about food history and culture in the region. It's a statement not just about the diversity of Dubai, but about how important food history and culture is in the broader region. And we can do that in Dubai. We are the place that, for example, brings together foods of even cultures in conflict. You might not be able to travel, for example, to Iraq right now. You may not be able to travel to Syria. You may not be able to travel to Afghanistan. But just sitting from where I am right now, I could go out and have those meals in, you know, within a 15-minute driving radius. And that, to me, is fantastic.
So if we were to go out with you, looking out your window in whatever direction you want to take us in, what are some of those neighborhoods and who would we meet there and what would we eat there?
The neighborhood that I've lived in, and I've lived here since 1989, this neighborhood used to be primarily Middle Eastern. So a lot of people from Lebanon, Palestine, Syria, Iraq, and so on. And so a lot of the restaurants have that very Middle Eastern focus. So for example, we could go one street down and we could have Palestinian-style stuffed falafels, and they're stuffed with chili paste, which we call shatta. They're stuffed with sumac, which is the sour berry. It tastes very much like lemons, and they make it in a handmade sort of like a mold, sort of like an ice cream scoop, but for falafels. They crust it up with sesame seeds and deep fry it. And even the hummus is different, because typically you just serve your chickpeas and tahine, but the way the Palestinians and the Jordanians do it is they splash this spicy sauce over it. It's more sort of pungent, I guess, than spicy. It's green bell peppers, few chili peppers, lemon juice, and garlic almost blitzed together like a salsa verde, and they just splash it over the hummus, and it kicks up the whole flavor level a notch. So you can have Palestinian food. You can go down the street and have Iraqi food just steps away from that, which means you can have the 45-minute smoked, we call it maskouf. Maskouf is a kind of, it's a bottom feeder. It's a fish that typically in other parts of the world you would either disregard. I believe in Australia they convert it into Charlie the fertilizer. But it's an ancient cooking technique of cutting this massive fish. The minimum weight is about 2 kilograms, and you slice it open. Okay. It has to be done in a really certain way. Slow cook it around a wood fire for about 45 minutes, and then you scoop it up with fresh bread out of the tanur oven with mango pickle called amba, tomatoes, a kind of basil leaf that we call rehan, and onions, and it is simply delicious. That's just These are walking distance from where I stay now. You cross the creek, you go to the other side, and then you land up in India Town. You land up in Meena Bazaar. And that's actually got a lot of really old restaurants, some of which have even been around before the country became a country in 1971. And you can have a mix of North Indian style street food. You can have dosas and idlis and vadas from South India. So really, it's this meze of cultures that's just waiting to be tasted.
And I'm really fascinated by what you said before, especially with the people who are coming from, you know, places where there's conflict. And they didn't necessarily even leave because they wanted to go somewhere else. They left because they had to. And I would imagine that impulse to hold on to what they could remember is intense.
And I completely agree. We don't just have people opening restaurants. There are cookbook authors here who feel compelled to write about their recipes, but the stories behind the recipes, because some of these dishes, they don't taste the same, not because of the ingredients, but because you didn't have the background behind where that dish was originally eaten, why it was eaten, how it was meant to be eaten. All of that really adds to the flavor behind the dish, because nostalgia is that, you know, it's that X factor, it's that flavor component that you just can't replicate. And I think a lot of people feel now this need to start showcasing some of the specialty dishes. When I was growing up, it was a lot of the standard Lebanese, but commercial Lebanese. So falafel, hummus, shawarma. You had your basic Indian restaurants, a lot of cafeterias doing juices and shawarmas. At that time, we didn't have the nuanced food culture that Dubai has currently. Over time, people have developed this appetite to want to learn. They want to experiment. They want to move past the hummus and the falafels. And they want to start learning about, you know, the special Palestinian chicken pie called musakhan, or the Syrian fateh, which is this beautiful crumbled dish with warm yogurt and butter and pine nuts and pomegranate seeds. There is an appetite to want to start discovering what are those authentic flavors in whatever form that it is replayed today. And I also see some really interesting innovations happening that I think maybe would not be accepted back in their home cultures. So for example, there's a baker down my street who mixes three ingredients that I'm quite positive are not meant to be mixed together, because I've had people from the Middle East coming on my tour and they feel appalled that you would mix ful medammis, which is the slow-cooked fava beans done Egyptian style, with chili paste, which is shatta, and labneh, which is hung yogurt, in one fatayer, which is sort of like a calzone pastry. You would never do that.
That
is not something, just, yeah, you've broken all kinds of rules. That is blasphemous. And I have found those same people who say that it's blasphemous, I found them lurking around on my streets coming back for exactly that. So in some cases, I think it's good to break a few rules. You kind of push your boundaries and you start blending ingredients. And isn't that actually how the world evolves and continues to evolve to begin with?
Yeah, especially there. You're in a new place. You're living a new life. You got to make your new pastries.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much, Arva. This has been really, really edifying. This has been really, really exciting to listen to.
Thank you. It was such an honor to have to speak with you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Arva Ahmed operates Frying Pan Adventures in Dubai. And at home, you can try out some flavors from the Middle East with this recipe, savory Middle East flatbread from our friend Adina Sussman. It's a kind of tomato and ground lamb pizza. It's delicious. Find it at splendidtable.org.